You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Good morning, church. It's great to be together, and thanks again. I know it's great to bring our hearts to the cross. Hope you're doing well. We are continuing our series called Love the Lord Our God, or Your God, and it's based upon the Shema from Deuteronomy 6. It talks about how the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our strength. And we're going to study through the book of Acts and see really how the early church lived that out and how their hearts were drawn to God, how their souls were drawn to God, how their strength was given over to God. And so the title of today's lesson is Hearts on Fire. Amen. Hearts on Fire. We're going to be looking in Acts chapter 2. You know, every human being wants their heart to be on fire for something, to fill us deeply, to motivate us, to compel us towards something higher than ourselves or deeper or more eternal than ourselves, something to make us feel alive in a very clearly dark and divided world. And this particular week is a special week for a lot of people. It's Valentine's weekend, and I know many of you had a great time with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband or wife, and sometimes it's a joyful weekend, sometimes a difficult one. My wife cooked me some steak dinner. It was delicious, and we had a really special time. This Thursday is our 32nd anniversary. Amen. Our 32nd anniversary, and we all want a heart on fire. I still remember the first time I saw Carrie. And I want to get into the spiritual fire, but I do want to share a little bit about how I fell in love with my wife of 32 years. I saw her at a Christian retreat, and I took notice. I then saw her at Sundays and Wednesdays because she began to study the Bible with the women who were reaching out to her. And I was attracted to her, I confess, but I made a decision early on. I would not give my heart to her until I saw that she had given hers completely to Jesus. I liked her, but I guarded my heart. And I was there the day she was getting baptized. And back in the old days, they had the small group leader men do all the baptizing of the women. And I happened to be the one small group leader guy there that day. And I got to baptize my future wife. I didn't know it at the time. Took her on some spiritual encouragement times. And then eventually my heart grew closer, and I had a strong like for her, and I asked her to be my girlfriend on September 26, 1992. I wasn't in love, I was in like. And, you know, we would go on a double date, a planned double date to protect us from maybe our old selves, who we used to be before we were Christians. And about that time, we took some photos together, and here's the photo we took, all right? Here it is, let's see if that shows up. All right. She looks pretty much the same, as you can tell. Well, age has had its work done with me. You know, by the time the picture was taken, something was happening inside of me. And I started looking at this set of pictures. And I began to go, she's my girlfriend. She was at that time my girlfriend. But, you know, it's a strange thing. Like, I started to identify. It's like, yeah, I would tell people, she's my girlfriend. I'm her boyfriend. You begin to identify with the person, which is a vulnerable thing. Like, do I fit in here? Do I really want to be known as Carrie's boyfriend? And I realized I did want to be known as that. At the time, I was working full-time as a photocopier outside sales rep for this big company. And I had sold a photocopier to a florist. The florist said, hey, you gave us such a good deal. I'll let you send a bouquet of flowers to anyone you want. And of course, I had a girlfriend then, so I was like, I know right where this is going. I got her like white gladiolas and red roses. And they said, what do you want to put on the card? And I thought about it, and I said, put on there, I love you. That was the first time I told her. She got the roses, the flowers. And then I got a little card back from her a couple days later, and she said, I love you too. My heart was on fire, and it was exciting. You know, we dated, and within a year and a half, we were married. 32 years of marriage has been a blessing. I pray for it for everyone. If you want that, I want to give that same joy. It's a powerful fire. However, it is simply not as powerful as the fire God has intends for each of us. See, this incredible marriage that I get to enjoy, it actually is temporary. Look at this verse. Jesus said, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Romantic fire, you know, it's fun. It's powerful, but there is a deeper fire, a more fulfilling relationship, a more fulfilling, comprehensive aspect to who you are in your inner being that God is calling you to, something more than the fire of a romance, something better, something that does not fade with time, a fire that lasts into eternity. And that's what God has intended for every one of us. All of us. He's calling us to that. And I want to dig into the book of Acts. It's not an unfamiliar scripture for many of us, but I want to pull out some things that really inspire our hearts today as a Westside. Amen. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin reading there. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. All right, guys, could you forward that for me? Great. Acts 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw, next slide, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. The day of Pentecost was exactly 50 days after the Passover. The Passover was when Jesus was crucified. Of course, then he died and resurrected. And the scriptures teach that for 40 days after his resurrection, he taught the apostles about the kingdom of God. And then he told them to wait in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. So roughly, 7 to 10 days, they were in the city. He had gone, he had ascended into heaven. And they're waiting patiently in the city, and then this happens. And we see in verse 1 that it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all together, not scattered, not isolated, not watching from a distance, together. And as I studied this passage, it occurred to me, at the end of the passage, we're going to read at the end how 3,000 get baptized and a huge crowd comes together. And I thought, if they're in a house, how did 3,000 gather? And how did this work out? How did they baptize 3,000 on that day in a house? And what I realized is, if you look at the text, the word for the place, the home that they're at, could also, it's oikos in Greek. It could also mean a temple dwelling. Some think it might have been a home connected to the temple complex, which makes sense that had been set up for them, and they were gathering. But I want us to really narrow in on this idea that they gathered, they were together, and then the fire of God came down. They were together in obedience to what Jesus said to do, and tongues of fire rested on each of them. You know, in the Old Testament, fire symbolizes God's presence. We read about, you know, the burning bush where Moses is, you know, God speaks to Moses out of the bush. And on Mount Sinai, how the fire comes down. And in the temple, how the Holy Spirit lit the fires in the tabernacle. And when Solomon built his temple, he lit the fire and told the priests to keep it burning. But see, now the fire doesn't rest on a mountain, not on a building. It comes down on these men. It comes down on people. Fire falls on gathered hearts. It says they were together. There's something special when you're all together. There's something special when you're gathered with the people who have a common way of living and thinking and wanting to be one people, even though they're from every different walk of life. And church, we see the power of that in our own lives. We know that. There's something special about doing life with people from different walks of life, but they have a common faith. So we've developed this thing in our church called small groups. Right there for anybody from every walk of life to find a small group you connect with that you enjoy. And we meet every other week with our small group. And many times the small groups do little trips together and they gather all the time. But small groups matter. And when one or two of us isn't there, you kind of feel a little like, hey, they're not here right now. It's nice when small group leaders can tell you, it's nice when the whole group is together. Amen? You know, we gather on Sundays as a body of Christ. And there's lots of great churches. This happens to be our church. If you're visiting today, welcome. We want you to feel like you belong. And it doesn't really matter. As long as you find a church that is faithful to the message of being a disciple of Jesus, You need to belong to somebody that you can be together with on a consistent basis. You know, we have sister fellowships throughout LA, which I love that we're connected to our Metro LA group, our Coastal LA group, which was our group that we sort of launched the West Side back. We were our own thing, then we folded into Coastal years ago, and then several years ago, they relaunched the West Side, right? We have sister fellowships. But on Sundays, we gather together as a West Side. It's important. It creates energy. You know, when all of us are together, there's this energy that starts to build. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's exciting when we're all there. Okay, what's the most busy and packed day of the year for Christians? Easter, right? That's the one. Yeah, Sunday is Easter, is a Sunday. But let me tell you, it's coming up April 6th. And guess what? This whole place will be packed. You know why? Because for some reason, people think, if I just go on Easter Sunday, that's probably what God needs me to do, right? And this room will be packed on Easter. And I want to urge you, be here. Let's gather. Bring your relatives. Bring your friends. Bring your daughter. Bring your mother. Bring people. It's going to be packed, and it's going to be powerful. And it's intended to be that way. But when we gather together, the Spirit falls. The Spirit falls when we're together. The day after Easter this year, I want to present to you what's going to happen. It's April 12th. We have a guest speaker coming in from Egypt, Magan and Nisa. This is its couple. They are full-time, he's a full-time manager of human resources for a big company, but he's sort of a self-supporting minister to our church in Cairo, Egypt. And we, as a West Side Fellowship, partnering with the Coastal LA group, we together support many of the churches. There's like 20 churches in the Middle East, and we've sacrificed for them. We helped build them. We planted them. Thank you, West Side, for doing that. On that day, guess what? We here on the West Side are going to host the Coastal LA, the Long Beach Church and the South Bay Church, and they're going to come sit right in this auditorium, so it's going to fill up. Amen? Get here early. The parking will be challenging, but we will be together. And see, God's fire falls when we're together. God's fire, he comes upon us. He's looking, it says in the scriptures, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. And I want to urge us to see the value of being together. It says in the text, they were all together. So I want to urge us as a church. You know, sometimes just showing up and all of a sudden miracles start happening. You just get yourself where you need to go. Your brain, your life, your feelings are all over the place. I've been there many times. But I'm like, I'm just going to show up. And you can see some miracles happen when you just show up. Amazing things begin to happen. Amen. All together. Fire falls when we're all together. You know, let's keep going in the text. You know, he goes on. I don't have it written out here, but he goes on and you read how they began to speak in all these languages from people all over the world. And it's just the Galileans who are speaking foreign languages and they're declaring the wonders of God. And everybody's like, they're declaring the wonders of God in my home language in all these different cities. And you can read the text and see. They said the Cretans from Greece and even the Arabs, they're speaking the wonders of God. And then Peter stands up and he begins to quote from the Old Testament, which as Jews in that culture, they might have heard this text. And I love what he says. He quotes Joel chapter 2. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Amen. I'm getting old. I can hold on to that verse. Even on my servants, both men and women. Even men and women. Amen, women. Women's month is coming up in March. I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. See, God's fire is for all people. His fire is for all people, guys. All walks of life. Young, and we got young in here. Old, and now I can include myself in that. Old people are here. Although I'm still able to move. I'm still able to get it going, right? I was talking about dancing with a couple of the guys earlier, and I am very entertaining when I dance because I try so hard. I barely stay on beat. Old white guy dancing is very entertaining. The Holy Spirit is for young and old to get you dancing in a spiritual way. Every background. See, we see every nation under heaven in the city. Of course, they were there because it's the Pentecost. It was one of the three annual feasts that they would gather in Jerusalem for. So there were people there, pilgrims from all over, to learn about God's kindness and grace. It was actually the Pentecost, a commemoration of the giving of the law by Moses, as well as the celebration of God's blessing upon the harvest. So the food was really good. See, God's fire is for all people of every kind. His spirit is for all people of every kind. In God's family, in God's economy, in God's plan, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. And as Christians, we stand against arenas that exclude people. Our culture is divided and polarized, and racism still surfaces its head in our culture. But it's not to surface in the church of God. Depicting people as anything other than image bearers of God is wrong. Hatred has no place in God's church. Political idolatry, which happens in our culture because the algorithms are designed to get our minds focused on things that make us angry and mad at those that aren't in our group. See, this has no place in God's kingdom. We do not identify with the power structures of this world. Political parties are not an offshoot of the kingdom of God. Jesus said this. I love this. My kingdom is not of this world. So why do we get stuck worrying about all the crazy? There's evil out there. There is evil in the world if you pay attention. And quite frankly, the information age has made it debilitating. Our brains aren't made to handle all the bad news out there. And I would urge you to take some time away, regular, long periods of time. This morning I was reading my hard copy Bible, the Message version of Acts 2. Just how did Eugene Peterson, who helped translate that, write? It's just a hard copy of the Bible to stay off the digital world. We must not allow modern media to disciple us into anger. We reject hatred with the weapons of prayer. Like CJ last week said, we got to be a praying people, praying double. Double our normal time, he said. I don't think I prayed every day double my normal time, but I did do a nice like 4.5 mile walk on the beach and pray for like an hour or so, praying through the names of the people here. And it was so encouraging to my heart to pray through the names of our congregation. We've got to stand strong against the darkness of this world. It reminds me of the book of Daniel and those three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know those guys? Those guys are amazing. They were told they have to bow down to this big metal idol. It was like a statue of the king. And if they didn't bow down, they'd be thrown into flame, right? You had to bow down. You know what they told them? They said, we're not doing it. We're not going to bow down. We won't do it. And our God is able to save us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to the image that you've set up. And you know what happened? They got thrown in the fire. And then all of a sudden the king looked in there. You read the story in Daniel 3. He looks in and they didn't get burned up. Even though the guards who threw the guys in the furnace, you got to read the story. They got burned up. But the three guys he threw in because they wouldn't bow down, they started walking around in the fire. And then they saw a fourth guy. The king looked in there and goes, there's a fourth guy in there. And he looks like a son of the gods. It was Jesus walking in the fire with these three guys. When we stand together and don't bow down to our culture, when we understand that everybody has dignity, Christ is with us. You know, I appreciate the Catholic bishops in America. I don't know if you saw the article they put out, they put out a letter. They just said, listen, you're able to give people dignity no matter what nation they are from, and still in dignity, treat people well and obey the law. We can do both. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. As Christians, we honor the individual. We obey the laws of the land, but we treat people with love and respect. Amen. I appreciate that they were willing to do that. These guys were on fire, literally, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were with Jesus. You know, I think about how the Spirit comes down on all people, and I think about our women's ministry. And one of the things that popped in my mind was this amazing woman, Lydia, from Acts 16. And we'll get to that a little later in a month or two. But I wanted to highlight her as a woman the fire had come down on. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a businesswoman, making some money for the fam. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She got baptized. It says, you read the whole text, her household got baptized. And then she invited the apostles to her home, and she's known to have been one of the early church leaders, small group, house church leaders, building the ministry up in an incredible way. Scholars think she might possibly have been a widow. They're not sure exactly, but it would make some sense. You know, every Valentine's Day, there's three women I buy roses for. My beautiful wife, I buy them for my daughter, but I also buy them for my awesome mother-in-law, Lynn. She's lived with Carrie and I for 20 years after Carrie's father had died. And she's a widow, but she's an incredible woman of God. She's like a Lydia, serving and giving and helping out with the hospitality table and partnering with the other amazing women who do that and men who help with that. See, women are on fire for God when they make him the priority of their life. Amen. And we have a group that Lynn is a part of. I love this group. When I first moved to the West Side, they were like, hey, we're what's known as a little bit older, the Albo group. The Patricias are in there. They are high powered. They make a huge difference. They're good businesswomen. They support the church in all kinds of ways. And I was just praying yesterday, just thinking all about them, and it occurred to me, maybe that name a little bit older, that's not the best name. I want to just propose this to you guys. But here's a new name. Here's a new name. Albo. Go to that slide. Anointed Leaders Building Others. Amen. Anointed Leaders Building Others. That's Albo. They make such a difference in the lives of the people in this church. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do. You don't have to take that. You can pick whatever you want. But I thought that one made some sense. You know, the last thing I want to say is that fire enters open hearts. It comes down on us. We're together. It honors and works powerfully when we understand that all people are to be included in that. Fire enters open hearts. And as you read the story that Peter preaches about Jesus, you're reading the first Sunday morning sermon by the Apostle Peter of anybody after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. In other words, he's preaching a message to the church. And the people listening, or it wasn't a church yet, it becomes a church at the end of this chapter, they understand that something new is taking place. And Peter preaches this lesson that we as well need to see as the blueprint of how people enter into the family of God and become a part of the church of God. And he goes on, and he culminates the sermon in verse 36. We read there, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah," Lord and Savior. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, God's fire enters open hearts. It moves in people's hearts. It doesn't just inspire, it pierces, it convicts, it opens them up, and they cry out, "What shall we do?" And Peter tells them, "The keys. You gotta repent and be baptized. You're gonna connect with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You're gonna receive the Holy Spirit. It's not manufactured, it's received. It enters open hearts." You know, yesterday I had the privilege of getting to partake in this incredible victory of seeing Jade Rodriguez baptized into Christ at the beach right down here, right here in Playa. It was a miracle because miracles are happening in changed lives every day. And in the text that we read, if you go on and read, it says Peter tells them, "Hey," with many other words, he warns them, he pleads with them, "save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And it says, those who accepted his message, those who realized, I need to change my whole life, and I need to commit to something bigger than the comfort and the polarization of our culture, it says they were baptized. And 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. 3,000. Show that slide, the 3,000. I want that to ring in your mind. 3,000. I want you to get this, guys, from today's text. You see, what's happening right here is really special. See, in the church, God is revisiting some of his promises in the Old Testament. Like Alfonso said, he would always fulfill his promises. In Leviticus 9, fire fell from heaven on the tabernacle and it consumed the sacrifice. And Moses told the Israelites, that fire that God put in his tabernacle in time, it became the temple that Solomon built. He says it's not to go out. See, it had fallen in his day, and they were told, don't let it go out. The Levites were told, keep that fire burning. So the Lord filled the temple. But something radical happens here in Acts 2. They are all together like we shared, and the fire falls, but this time, not on an altar, but on people. See, the same word that's used in the temple message about the Spirit of God dwelling in the temple is used there in Acts 2, where it says, it fell upon them. It was dwelling upon the people. The Spirit has started something new in Acts 2. And it's his spiritual family, his church of the living God. It's the visible aspect of the kingdom. Though the kingdom is bigger than the church is part of his greater kingdom, his rule. See, the temple has moved from location to people, from buildings to a collected family of God. And just like the priests of old, we are called to keep the flame going and to fan it into flame. You know, Timothy was told, hey, fan into flame the gift of God. So how do we do that, church? We got to come together. We got to reject division. We have to open our hearts and repent fully. We did the repentance study or the sin study today in our training class. We talked about how sin damages our life, but there is a cure for sin. But we have to face that sickness. We have to face the things that are hurting us to get the cure. And then the Spirit fills us. It fills surrendered hearts. Some of you are sitting here today and you're on the sidelines. Some of you are. I'm glad you're here. You attend, you listen, but your heart is not fully surrendered. Some of you might be in a small group, but you rarely come to it. Some of you love coming and hearing the message, but you haven't agreed to partner in a small group. I want to urge you to join one. You know, some of you have never been through our Foundations of Faith study series, which helps align our understanding of how to live out this miracle, this fiery miracle that changes the world. I'm so happy that all these members of the church are being trained how to teach it. We have like 48 people being trained how to teach it, which means at least 48 more already know how. There's someone that can walk with you individually. Ask them to do it. Some of us, you know, we've been studying. It's time for us to go, okay, I know I need to fully repent and be baptized and begin the fire of God serving in my life. I've been in conversations this past week with Robert Carrillo, Paris Cunningham, Ruben down in Long Beach, Sergio Polito, who leads our MLA group, and the Marichis. And we have talked about the importance of doing something in our society to bring God into a divided world. And we are planning on March 8th to do a community day of prayer. After church, at like 3 p.m. for an hour or so, we're thinking even possibly one of the parks here on the west side, amen? We want the fire of God to fall on our communities. Be looking for more information about this. But the call to action to you today is this. Gather together. Gather together. Where two or more are gathered, there I am with them. Some of you, that means join a group. Others, let's keep doing it. Let's create plans and dreams for God to change our culture. Some of you start that Foundations of Faith studies. Some of you need to be baptized. But I want to leave you with one final comment. And I want us to just read it over here a couple times, and that's this. Fire falls on gathered hearts and fills surrendered ones. Fire falls on gathered hearts and fills surrendered ones. Fire falls on gathered hearts and fills surrendered ones. Amen, church. Let's go to God in prayer, and let's ask for a revival of his fire on the west side. Father in heaven, we come to you now humbled, inspired, grateful for how you lit a fire on the earth. We saw the day of Pentecost inspired and started a movement, your Christian church. And we carry it forward now, God, 2,000 years later, and we ask that your fire would fall upon the Westside congregation, that our hearts would be surrendered, and you would fill us. Whatever needs to be opened up about, whatever changes we need to make, help us, nurture us, guide us along, and fill us with your fire. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.